Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Settings in this motherfucker.
That's what's up.
Yeah, I gotta check these out.
Yo, what is up? How is your world? We hope well, man. It is actually cold in Tennessee, and I do, when I say cold, I mean under 32 degrees.
Oh.
And people are freaking out. But you know me, you know where I'm from.
Yeah.
This ain't shit.
This ain't.
So it's like, hey, man, ain't it gonna be like 60 Wednesday? Y'all bugging out. Like, look, hey, tropical storms just affect everything. You good? You know what I'm saying? That's my word of advice to everybody in the South right now. Hey, man. But now that I got my meteorologist segment out the way, hey, y'all, it's time to talk about wrestling like nobody else in the world, man. So when you tune into this stream, or when you listen as a part of the Barber's Chair Digital Network, you know that it is time for the first Black Champ podcast. And yes, I am the pick, all right? The podcast Intercontinental Champion.
Oh, you got an L, you got an acronym, nigga. Oh,
you know what I'm saying? Camp from the port.
Excuse me, pick. And I'm JR Bang. And make sure you rate, like, subscribe, download, wherever you get your favorite podcast. Barbershed Digital is the home. Make sure you listen to all things wrestling there, because you got us, you got Ruthless Aggression.
Yeah.
You got us, you got Ruthless Aggression. Two of the best wrestling podcasts out there. You know what I'm saying? So y'all go ahead and check us all out. And everything, if you're a sports fan, shouts out to the Bears today going to Atlanta. I know Scott is in Atlanta right now, but we talk Braves on Barbershed Digital. We talk Philadelphia Eagles on Barbershed Digital. Of course, we talk all things Crib on Barbershed Digital.
Yeah, yeah.
So y'all make sure y'all go and listen to Barbershed Digital, home of First Black Champ. Before we get started, two things. One, I told Kent before we started, and you will hear it in my voice, but I just got my voice back fully this morning. So I am happy to be having this conversation today.
Yeah,
at the same time, it started to trickle. I've been up since 2.
Mm.
Shouts out to having kids, you know, young, and they like to get up. So I've been up since 2. And the news, I started seeing stuff on social media and everything, and it looks like it's pretty much confirmed right now. So a piece of our childhood, if you was a Power Rangers fan, it's all fucked up because the Green Ranger, Jason David Frank, apparently, reportedly, allegedly, is passed away.
Damn. Oh, that's who that is. I ain't no disrespect. I thought it was a UFC fighter. No joke. Because I was like, James Frank. I'm like.
Yeah, when Mike put it in, it was from a UFC fighter. But yeah, Jason David Frank, who played the Green Ranger and then the White Ranger on the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, reportedly has passed away at age 49.
Damn.
And it took me back to when I was a shorty man going to school at Michelle Clark. And in the 6th grade when Power Rangers first came out. And I remember me, my man Jesse, my man Lawrence. Like, we got stuck with Power Rangers as soon as it came on, so we came back to school. It was one more person. I think it was my homie Quentin, who I think is, like, gay right now.
Okay.
Like, he grew up to be gay. It's not surprising.
Same love.
Yeah, you know, same love. But, yeah, it was not surprising when you think about it, but either way it go. Like, we all picked a Ranger, and I was the Blue Ranger. and Jesse, I think, was the Red Ranger. Yeah. Now, we didn't come to school doing karate and shit. Like, you wouldn't catch us at Michelle Clark. You would get beat up for that, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay.
You really get beat up for that. And Jesse will probably pop in because he's on the Facebook page. He's in the Facebook group. Jesse has to probably pop in. But yeah, we were Power Rangers. And only thing we did not do is come to school doing the karate shit. Because if you was in the sixth grade and Michelle Clark doing anything considered lame, you got jumped real quick.
I can see that. I can see that being a discrepancy within the confines of your educational system.
Yeah, real quick. You come to school talking about some, whoa, I'm like, nah, nigga. And it ain't Samurai Sunday? Oh, no, you get beat up.
I got it with that, cuz.
Yeah, you get beat up. But then I was looking and I was like, I saw a lot of women on social say how big of Power Rangers fans they were growing up.
Oh, wow, really?
Some were my age. And just like wrestling, I had the same thought. Where were y'all at when I was in the sixth, seventh grade? Mm. Like, doing Power Rangers at sixth and seventh grade, when I was growing up, would have been easier if we had fine women doing it with us. Maybe these were ugly ducklings who became swans, but...
Yeah, that's it.
But while it is rest in peace, Jason David Frank, like, I'm sitting there looking like, man, why didn't you tell me you like Power Rangers? Mm. Why? When we was growing up, were you afraid to get beat up?
One of the unexplained phenomenons of life, I guess. Rest in peace to that, brother. You know what? And even though I'm only a year older, I was on the Power Rangers tough like that. That was mostly my cousins.
I can see that.
Because I was so high on Ninja Turtles, you couldn't convince me nobody could beat they ass. So I was like, the Power Rangers. I'm like, man, Donatello killing all of them. I don't like Michelangelo killing all of them, and he ain't even serious. So that was my thing. And then when they did the movie, I was like, oh yeah, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles will really whoop your ass.
Camp, I really, you know what? I really, really just stereotyped you.
No, that's cool.
I thought you had like a two nerd shit limit. And hit me out here, because this is a great conversation before we get started. Everybody likes some nerd shit when they growing up. Just don't tell everybody. Right. You find out when they get older. But it's normally like one or two things, like wrestling, and you played the saxophone.
Yeah.
And to some people, if you grew up with Michelle Clark,
I'm well aware. Oh, trust me. I'm well aware.
In sixth, seventh, and eighth grade when we grew up, unless you was the coolest nigga, which I considered you, the way like your family be talking about you being the coolest nigga in the family, basically. Yeah, so like that saxophone and wrestling, that's your jump off. But the way you just explained Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? It's a lot more.
Listen, I am quite possibly the coolest nerd ever in life. And I embraced that in 98. Like, that's fine. Like, there was a few things working for and against me, right? So.
Because you tall, too.
Yeah. Like, I've never been small. I was 5'4 when I was 11. So you're not, even if you do feel a way about me having Ninja Turtles and wrestling action figures, what are you going to say?
Thank you. I was short and fat.
And then and my thing is, I carried my saxophone with my Houston Rockets starter coat. And I was just like, hey, like they was like, oh, Cam in the band, like, yeah. And then I joined the youth choir and started playing by ear. So I carry my saxophone to church and to school. I collect wrestling action figures and I watch cartoons.
And nobody ever tried to take your starter jacket?
No.
See? Man.
and the thing is, I was the only person in Freeport with the Houston Rockets one.
Oh, see?
Like, I was the one of one in Freeport, Illinois. Because, you know, obviously the Hornet joints and the Bulls joint, all of those. But I had the only Houston Rockets starter pullover. But then, I joined marching band, but then I was also on the basketball team. But then I was in track and I was a peer educator, but I also joined the jazz band and the symphonic band. But what are you going to do?
Look, man.
Like, still on me and take my shit.
I envy you. You know what I'm saying? I envy you. You know what I'm saying? We couldn't do all of that at Michelle Clark. Yeah. And y'all, you might be listening to this and you'd be like, man, Michelle Clark sounds draconian. Yeah. Yes, fam. In 1993, bruh, you could not do shit. But nigga shit. And that should be cool. All right. Yeah. Like, this wrestling podcast we started 5 years ago is a sign of me starting to enjoy my childhood outwardly. Coming out to me is saying, as a grown man, I like wrestling. I like Power Rangers. I like Ninja Turtles. I still watch DuckTales from time to time on Disney Channel. Disney Plus. Yeah, that shit's on Disney Plus. Like the new shit they tried to do with the DuckTales looking kind of weird. Like, no, I like the old 1989 Huey, Dewey, and Louie with Mr. Scrooge. I don't like that new shit they tried to do, make the niggas look sharp and all that stuff. No, I ain't like that.
Layla watched the OG one, the DuckTales.
That's what I'm talking about. See, I don't think people really get how it's anxiety, so much stuff as a kid to where now. And I get it. I understand. And I still look at some of these women crazy when they say they wrestling fans or they say they like Power Rangers and they like them all their life. And I just want to throw a shaking bottle of Coke and throw it at their head. Be like, why you ain't telling me that shit? Yeah, because the shit frustrating.
I dig it.
Because you all types of anxiety and shit when you growing up, fam. Like,
am I the only one that fuck with this or I'm going to only one that's going to admit it? Yeah.
Yeah, and you tend to not outwardly enjoy things you like to because you don't want nobody to think you are X, Y, and Z. I'll give you an even better example.
No, I get you.
And you are a part of this. Who was it? What's my man's name? Huey Lewis.
Okay, yeah. Huey Lewis in the news. My niggas.
Right. When I sent you the joint of him selling his catalog for the low, it seems like.
Yeah, right.
Seems like for the low. I know I liked Huey Lewis in the news somewhat when I was younger. You couldn't go to your cousin's house and talk about some man, G. Y'all heard that new Huey Lewis in the news?
Nah, I get you.
Yeah, I was watching the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductions that premiered last night. I was watching it earlier today. Right. That shows you how long I've been up. Because I said earlier today.
Right. Like, it's 10. Like, even I got up at like 4:30.
It shows you a lot. But like Eurythmics. You see how my nose and shit stopped. Yeah. Eurythmics. They got inducted. Mm-hmm. And it's Landon and Liam are up too. That's the crazy thing. Mm-hmm. And Sweet Dreams start playing.
Dang.
I'm in this bitch dancing like I'm some type of dude in a goddamn 80s club. Sweet Dreams are made. But then I was like, I loved this song growing up. They used to play this shit on V103.
Yeah.
But as Keith just said, and this is the perfect sum up. Yeah. Let's be real. Growing up, we was afraid to be called acting white or gay. It's fucked up. I'm glad the world is shifting from that. Yeah. And that's the tail end of everything that I was talking about, starting with Jason David Frank, because that dude right there was the coolest white dude for some people who watch Power Rangers. Mm. He was the coolest white dude we ever seen. Mm. When the Green Ranger started, he started off as a bad guy. And then he changed his ways and was kicking it with the Power Rangers. Then my man had the flute, like the Green Ranger had the flute and shit. Yeah. And then he became the White Ranger. And he was like, damn, the Red Ranger ain't even the leader of the group no more. He just moved his ass out the way. But we were not able to thoroughly have those type of conversations when we was younger, but it seems to be shifting. Yeah. So to see all of these people outwardly show love to dude, and he was keeping the Power Rangers dream alive. Like, they redid it. They was talking about making a movie. He appeared in that shit. He really embraced being a Power Ranger. Mm-hmm. But seeing that, and my man who does the wrestling club at the school, like, this is a wrestling club at a school, G. Do you not understand how, if there was a wrestling club in school where we had a teacher that cared about us enough to bring in old wrestling tapes and have conversations with it after school, fam, I wouldn't have never thought about being a gang member, fam. It would have never crossed my mind.
Like, hey, you know, but you know what? That's very important to bring up. You know what? I'm just realizing how fortunate I was to have a good balance.
Yeah, you were.
Because even one of my worst friends who's serving like 15 to 20 years right now was one of the biggest wrestling fans. Like, we went over his house to watch WrestleMania 6, like, and we talked wrestling, but you know, he's criminal. And you know, shout out to him, I ain't gonna say his name. Like, well, man, I can say his name. Yeah, you know, my man Jermaine Tidwell. We grew up together. And we were like, that was my first real wrestling homie. But like, he ended up getting in trouble. He was like the neighborhood dope dealer and DJ. You know what I'm saying? Hey, RIP to his pops, Curtis Mayo. You know what I'm saying? And but see, it was all about balance, man. You know, I had the
not a GD. I'm not in it.
What up, Trey? But yeah, man.
I'm cool with every gang known to man, fam.
Yeah.
I am the best Neutron ever, fam. Like, yeah. Let me just say this.
That's important. That's important to be. Like, again, hey, it's balanced. Like I said, I played saxophone since like 11 years old. I was also a peer educator in high school. I was in the marching band, jazz band, but I was also on the freshman basketball team, eighth grade and the freshman basketball team. But see, like, the balance is, we were all kids, so this is okay. I'm 40 something now. Yeah, okay, yeah. So the balance is, I was also at the movie theater in my Alonzo Mourning jersey getting a hand job to Casper. It's 13. And then by the time I'm 15, we get to high school, I get asked to prom when I get there because the girl think I'm in a different class. I've never seen her before in my life, but she asked me to prom. I was like, hell no, you can't go. You're 14. And I was like, yo, why not? But the trade-off is I end up dating the girl with the fattest ass in the school, and she knows who she is. Shout out to you. We're still really great friends.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
You know what I'm saying? They still wouldn't let me go because she's older than me, but I still didn't go to, was it? I think I went to her junior and senior prom. I don't know. I don't remember. That ain't even important. The point is, if you do get the opportunity to live out loud, you will just attract certain types of people around you. Like, there will be, on paper, again, I'm probably the coolest nerd in real life. You know what I'm saying? Like, ever. You know what I'm saying? Like, even, I would have shifted the whole Revenge of the Nerd story. Like, that would have been so much iller if I was, like, Gilbert. You know what I'm saying? Like, it would have been super ill. But saying all that to say, I'm sure growing up in the actual city of Chicago, because all we did was visit. And then for me, that was like later. Like, I was always going to Rockford or just other places, or like Milwaukee. But I'm sure that given the chance to just live out loud and just be like, yo, no, I fuck with this. And having at least one other person that was like, yo, no, I fuck with this too. Like, changes the whole scope of everything.
Yeah, and that's why I'm glad that I have my core group and they continue to be my core group. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But even with that, I couldn't go to school talking about some fam. I just saw this George Washington porn on Cinemax. Like, remember when anything. You brought that shit up and I was like, yo, I seen that too.
Yeah. Hey.
You know how a weight lifted off of me? Like, yo, y'all thought I was bullshitting this whole time. But yeah. Nigga got hit under cherry tree and it became a goal of mine. And I achieved that goal of getting hit underneath a cherry tree. And it came off of a Cinemax porn with George Washington. I know we getting left here, but that's all
a part of it. This is important content.
This is important content. Yeah. Like, so even when we do this pod, it's like, I still get people that be like, oh, you do a wrestling pod? I'm like, yeah, nigga. Yeah, fam.
Like, it's cooler than anything you fucking doing, I promise.
It's a billion-dollar industry, fam. Like, you know, I don't go on a pod. Like, even the other pod I do, I don't go with Kiki, fam. Like, you know, everything I do has purpose. Like, you go on your pod and you talk about how you want to get ran by two niggas. On my pod, I talk about a billion-dollar industry. Like, you know what I'm saying? You're not even exercising the industry that you could be in that is the oldest profession on earth. Like, you just out here fucking and talking about it. Like, I'm talking about some shit that I love, too. I'm still doing this shit. And see, Bang got a lot of porn stories when he was an amateur star. So look,
man. Hey, I think you also needed more lifestyle friends. Or you know what? You had to be the guy to lead the charge. And this is where a lot of probably the parents that they probably don't even see this, but I put a lot of people on to like the wild shit that I would see on Cinemax and Showtime.
Oh, I did.
Because we called it Skinemax back in the day for you young people that have no clue. Like, we called it Skinemax. That's how much
it
was.
If you spent the night over my house when I was younger, you have played the game. And then I was like, look, watch this.
Like, yo, like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, yo, they doing it on this channel.
They do
like,
it on
yo,
this look. Channel.
That was logic. Hey, yo, hey, they doing it on this channel, though. We got to turn this on.
So when you go home, hey, man, y'all got Cinemax. Go ahead and get that shit. They got George Washington porn on there. 2001, The Sex Odyssey on there, where the people came down from Earth and the women, they was trying to get pregnant and do all the stuff too. That was a wild one. And they got Red Shoe Diaries on that shit. And then I put everybody on The Real Sex too. So
that one shit that was like the NC-17 version of Mad Max. I remember that when the girl was on the school bus and shit, butt naked with the chains and shit on. With the fucking
I know you talk. I think I know you talking about. It's Reform Girls.
Yeah, that's the name.
That's the point. That's not. I watched that 2 weeks ago.
Hey, that shit fire. Hey, I was like, yo, this shit is like Mad Max, but it's like sex in it and shit.
So it's on Amazon Prime. It's like $3.
$3.
It's called Reform School Girls. For those who not knowing what we're talking about, I watched it 3 weeks ago because the first time I ever watched it, I forgot what old girl name was, but she used to be on USA All Night.
Yeah.
And that's why I watched it. And it's basically about a girl who ends up going to reform school and all of the hijinks that go on. It's on Amazon Prime. Like I said, it's like $3. I watched it 3 weeks ago.
Yo, I watched that on the fucking late 80s on fucking Carroll Street. Good. Oh my God. Okay. First Black Champ podcast, man. You know what I mean? We here. I'm still the pick. That's still Bang.
Yeah, right.
We here doing it, man.
Let's talk wrestling now.
Yeah.
But Reform School Girls, y'all make sure y'all go check that out.
Hell yeah. Check that. That's the movie pick of the week. And y'all got a short week too?
Oh, man.
Come on, fam. You got to throw on that Reform School Girls joint.
That might be the short for social media too.
Yeah.
That's what people can understand. That might.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food. And before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Be the short right there, because I got time. All right, man, wrestling. Right, speaking of all this crazy shit we just got through talking about, I have a question to ask you before we get into this War Games talk.
Yeah.
Because I got the thing about War Games that might not be might be popular for some people. But talking about this WWE thing, Austin Theory snapped. Yeah. Is the only way of saying it. He snapped on Dolph Ziggler. He did not win the U.S. Championship. He didn't cash in the Money in the Bank. So it's not only that he lost Money in the Bank, he lost it for the United States Championship. To us on First Black Champ, we affectionately call it the Raw Heavyweight Championship.
Absolutely.
But be that as it may, he lost out on it. Dolph Ziggler, came at him again, got in his feelings, and he beat the shit out of Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah.
But then I got to thinking, damn, it seems like everybody has snapped, so to speak. Bobby Lashley has snapped. Austin Theory has snapped. In a way, you could say Seth Rollins has snapped. You look at what's going on with Bray Wyatt and the characters and all of that. It seems like in one way or another, we have a couple of, or more than a couple of characters that has snapped, so to speak, in the WWE. Can you have too many characters that has snapped or have gone crazy? Like, does everybody need to be somebody who's a step away from a mental institution? So,
it's interesting because, that's kind of the world we live in, right? Like, that's why all the Be Kind memes exist, right?
that is true.
Yes. However, the other side of that reality is that everybody ain't crazy. You know what I'm saying? And I love the aspect of, no, you ain't crazy. No, I'm crazy. I get the check. I'm crazy. And off top, shout to Trey, because he's right. I did appreciate and actually like Austin Theory's fourth rope promo, if you will, saying everything that we said. Like, man, listen, he ain't gonna cash in on Roman. Like, how? Like, Solo Sikoa gonna beat your ass.
Right.
Like, Jimmy and Jay is gonna beat your ass. Hey, Sami Zayn is gonna get you disqualified. Like, you can't win. Adrian voice. But I don't think we saw crazy from Austin Theory, Bang, if I'm being honest.
Okay.
I think we saw a temper tantrum.
And that's
the thing, right? Like, Austin Theory, what stuck out the most was that, oh, he's sick of being called a kid. And what do kids do when you say something to them and they don't want to hear it?
Yeah, don't ever
say they start that. Breaking things.
Yeah.
And they start throwing shit and they just get in a crying fit and they just start doing shit. It's like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like, you didn't even really do much here. This just doesn't make sense what you're doing. And that's what I saw Austin Theory doing. See, for me, even the fact that it happened to Dolph Ziggler didn't make it feel crazy to me. Because one, where did Dolph Ziggler even fucking come from?
Right.
Like, fam.
Like, you was gone.
We seen you in, like, July? Like, September? Like, when was the last time we seen you, fam? To me, snapped is, oh, I'm about to beat Finn Balor ass because he challenging for the title tonight. And then really, and it's after the match. Like, make it seem like, oh, see, look, you lost. So now you're wasting time and you didn't win the belt. So now it's super fuck you. Like, okay. Now I got to get you out of here. And, I think that, again, we witnessed a pretty good temper tantrum from Austin Theory. Fast forward into Bobby Lashley. It's funny, because I don't think Bobby Lashley's crazy at all.
I don't think so either.
I think this is what the other angry black man looks like. It's like, hey, I'm tired of being suppressed. It's just like, let's say, like, maybe the Byron Allen demographic agrees with this character, right?
Oh.
It's like, yo, I'm very successful. But you know what? These white motherfuckers, they really be trying to hold me back. And they really be taking what's mine.
So basically, Bobby Lashley is the Republican black man who, so to speak, snapped.
Hey, you know what I'm saying? Because and the thing is, look, when he uses power, whether it's for good or bad, he can't be stopped.
Yeah.
Which I think is the great, again, which is the greatest storyline for a black man ever. Like, nobody can really hold Bobby Lashley down. Like, he's literally Diddy and Bad Boy in the 90s reincarnated into a professional wrestler. Like, that's the illest part of this. Mm. Like, he just saying, like, look, can't nobody hold me down. Where if I want you to like me, I'm going to beat everybody ass. If I want you to hate me, I'm going to beat everybody ass. But most importantly, you got to know I'm going to beat everybody ass. And you got to deal with it. You want to deal with it? You beat my ass. And I think that's fair. That don't make Bobby Lashley crazy. That make him unstoppable. And I'm here for that.
So, thank you for reeling me in a bit. But still, like, snap is still the common denominator, so to speak.
Yes.
You could snap and not be crazy. You could just be, I'm tired of shit.
Yeah.
And I guess what I'm saying is, especially with somebody who's called the game, mm-hmm. Who's the cunning character now?
Right.
Who's the sneaky cunning character? The character who is going to, you know, sneak his way into beating your ass, mm-hmm. so to speak. Because the Triple H may be called the game, mm-hmm. but Triple H also had a sledgehammer.
Right.
Triple H is sweet, like a trip you up, but if all else fails, I got a sledgehammer. Like, yeah. Who's the smartest? If I were to ask you, other than Seth Rollins.
Right.
You know, other than Seth Rollins,
right?
Because that's the easy answer here. Mm-hmm. But other than Seth, because we got two brands, you got to think about this too. Mm-hmm. Who is the cunning character on wrestling? If Raw has his cunning character in mm-hmm. Seth, who's it on SmackDown?
Well, right now it's honestly Sami Zayn.
Okay,
but even in the way, but see, they kind of killed it putting him with the Bloodline, so we don't see it as much anymore. So, you know, honestly, even though I think they're doing it wrong, on SmackDown, it's Karrion Kross. It's just that he doesn't have the build that makes you think, oh, I should be sneaking around to do some shit. Like, big motherfucker, we see you. like, fam. you think you're hiding? Like, you think the bushes move that big? Get the fuck out of here. Like, come on.
I just miss those characters that make you think.
Yeah.
Like, never trust the snake type shit is what I miss. I don't want it to get into a situation where everybody feels like they have to have a snapped character.
Yeah.
Like, I'm about 2 minutes away from 7:30, fam. Like, you know, I'm a Kirk out if I don't get my way. I don't want the WWE to become that, because then everybody really is the same, especially when the demographic is 18 to 34 white male.
Right.
Because we know in public that will happen. I don't need all my wrestlers to be like that either.
You know what this just made me think of? Perhaps the cunning, maniacal, slithery character is being reduced because every wrestler, for the most part, like minus like six, are in great shape. If you think about it, Roddy Piper spent most of his career not really looking like he was going to enter Mr. Universe later that year.
Yeah, it was like 1 year he was swole.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And that was coming off retirement.
No, not even that. is 84.
Oh, like, okay.
It was war. If you look at Roddy Piper, war to settle the score, and then him in WrestleMania 3, which is technically 3 years.
Right.
Roddy Piper was swole in 84. Yeah. And then he was like, I ain't really feeling all these extra shits.
Yeah, then like 91 or 92, he came back.
Not taking none of that shit.
Got ripped up.
But he was like small ripped.
Yeah.
He was like, you know, let me bench press 225 10 times.
Like cut out carbs.
Yeah, then cut like, out carbs and just lift.
Six-pack like, the show.
In 84, my man Chess was out here like this and shit. You know what I'm saying?
No. Yeah. So, you know, so you got like Roddy Piper, Jake Roberts, Cactus Jack, Skinner. Like, there were so many characters and so many different personalities. It's like, yo, I can't see you just running up on me and whooping me. So I gotta, like Road Dogg, Jesse James. All right, even though he probably is still like 6'1", but it's like, dog, you are like the only Armstrong with no body definition. Like, you can't fuck with me. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, dog, I'm not letting the Armstrong with no body definition whoop my ass.
Scott, oh, you're right, because Scott Armstrong do be looking swole underneath the referee outfit when he was refereeing. And we all know, you know what I'm saying, Bullet Bob was swole when he was young. And
man's name's Bullet. Ain't no way right. You ain't got no muscle if you
and Brad, like, Bullet. Brad, like, you know, Brad low-key looked like Patrick Swayze in Roadhouse, you know what I'm saying? Here comes Road Dogg ass, Boogie Woogie in this shit.
Yeah, with a 3X sleeveless tee on. It's like, yo, fam, you gotta relax. So saying all that to say, like, you know, you gotta be pretty cerebral when your body ain't right in the world of wrestling. It's like, yeah, you know what? Hey, look, yeah, I'm not gonna physically dominate anybody. And I don't look like an opposing figure. But you know what I'm saying? If I think my way out the vacation breaks, yeah, hey, right. Right.
Hey. Oh, that's man.
That's what, vacation breaks with a 3X sleeveless tee on. And, you know, so they got to play the cerebral games.
I got
know?
Another part to that, too.
Yeah.
These marks can't talk. Like, to be cerebral, you got to talk. Like, really, the last of that breed, when you think about it, is Randy Orton.
Yeah.
That's the last of that breed. Randy Orton is swole.
Mm-hmm.
Has the whole entire package, including speaking, pause on the package part. Mm. But, you know what I'm saying? I don't want to hit Karrion Kross with a mic.
Yeah.
I put it back. Put it away. Put it away. I don't need to. But I miss that character. Yeah. I miss, and I don't want him to be Bray Wyatt like. And maybe because Bray Wyatt, like this character, the way we see Bray Wyatt is totally different than we've ever seen him in Bray Wyatt. You know what I'm saying? I am one of the few who like the interaction between him and LA Knight, because to me, that means they think of LA Knight highly.
Yeah.
And also, as we said on this pod, I don't want Bray Wyatt to go straight to the top of the food chain.
Yeah.
Because when you do that, you damn near guarantee him being in the world title match, and he don't need to.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, him getting smacked by LA Knight, too, that shit was hilarious. Like, look.
Two for one special.
Right. Right. Oh, shit. I was like how Jey Uso fucked up a couple of weeks ago. That was me when LA Knight slapped Bray Wyatt. I was like, ooh.
Right.
And the way, how quick he got out the ring, too. Like, he know it. Like, shit, I fucked up. Weaving.
Right.
Weaving. But I miss the cerebral character. And maybe because of, you know, the war game stuff and everything, I have been watching too much older wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
But even the music used to match your cerebralness.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm watching some of this old stuff and I'm like, man, that's really how you hone in on a character right here.
Mm-hmm.
These Margs ain't doing that like that no more. Yeah. Like, it's either I'm crazy or I'm crazy, but I'm not as crazy as everybody thinks.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I fight.
Right, and I'll beat your ass. I'm a badass. I'm a crazy or I'm a badass.
Yeah, like, nah, I miss the dude who gonna send you off. I miss the dude that's gonna, hey, I know how to make you tough, man. And then I'm, hey, walk through these pit of snakes. Don't be scared. It's mind over matter, fam.
Yeah.
And then that thing, like 3 weeks later, you're like, damn, he, don't even worry, got bit by a goddamn cobra. Never trust the snake. I miss that. And this is definitely not a plug, but Jake the Snake Roberts is doing the podcast. And I'm actually going to listen to this because Jake the Snake Roberts has always been one of my favorite characters because he was definitely the bad guy who wasn't never supposed to be a good guy.
Yeah.
Jake the Snake was never supposed to be a face fan.
Yeah, nah.
At all.
Nothing about his look, his speech, his music.
Man got blinded and we was like, oh shit.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Jake KC.
Right.
Jake KC. Like, what?
And you know what? Rick Martel, Rick the Model Martel, very underrated at being a very good cerebral guy.
Yes,
even though he looked great.
Yeah, I miss them characters, fam. Yeah. Like, I miss that character and all of that. But to move on real quick, back to Bobby Lashley. Hey, Bobby Lashley got to leave Ali alone. gonna put the Chicago, even though I like Bobby Lashley, fam, we got to put the Chicago card in here, fam. You can't just be beating that man that way. No. Come on, Bobby, fam. Like,
yo.
Ali out here trying, fam. He doing it. He wrestling. Like, shake his hand, fam. Pick him up. Do what him and Ricochet did. Fist pound. But stop beating. He'd be from throwing that man 2 weeks ago to ragdolling him in the goddamn. He'd be
tearing his ass off.
He'd be tearing his ass up, fam. Like, if you ever played WWE 2K22, like when the character lose like 3 times in a row against somebody, they send you that message like, hey, give me somebody else, fam.
Now I'm buying the game. Now I gotta buy the game.
Yeah. And it's Black Friday deal too. You go get it right on the PlayStation 4 or the 5. It's a deal on it right now. Get in that. But yeah, like you on GM mode, when you lose like 3 times in a row against somebody, they be like, hey, man. Give me somebody else, fam, because this person beat my ass.
Right.
That's Ali, fam, that's when it comes funny. To Bobby Lashley. Let's do something else. Speaking of SmackDown, Ali showed why Ali is cold as hell, though, because this match with him and Ricochet.
Yeah. Very good. Very good.
Like, very good. Very good. So I have a question, because it seems like to me that the WWE is, while it might not be Land of the Giants,
yeah.
Like that, it ain't the land of flipping and shit like AEW. Do you think that the WWE would be smart in bringing back the cruiserweight division?
No.
Damn.
And I only say that because It still only end up 6 people wrestling for the belt. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's because, hey, remember that time when the WWE felt that they had so many over cruiserweights that they started a whole show? Like, so nah, because the little Asian dude that was dabbing way past his prime and shit of the dance, like all the niggas and Cedric Alexander. Yo, Tony Nese, he went to AEW. You only need a cruiserweight title if you got 15 cruiserweights you actually gonna use.
Damn.
So yeah, and they not gonna use it. They use it for that tournament, which was fire. The tournament was fire. But then after the tournament, we was like, oh, we don't wanna watch them every week. My bad. Hey, what's his name? He would have stayed if they if they needed a cruiserweight division. What's my man's name, man? Little black homie that always be screaming racism every time he lose two matches.
Leo Rush, man.
Yeah, Leo Rush. Leo Rush ass. Hey, Leo Rush ass would have stayed, right? that was his beef. Yo, we need.
My man,
yo, y'all disrespecting black people under 200 pounds. Man, fuck out of here, fam.
My man said, always scream racism after they lose two matches.
It's true. Like, yo, that's how this works, bro. Don't give me, yo, it's not the WBC, bro. It doesn't, like, count. You can lose.
That's, you know what, man. Hey, man, now going into War Games, the men's side is set.
Mm-hmm.
The Bloodline versus the Brawling Brutes, Drew McIntyre and Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
Now, Kevin Owens reportedly, allegedly, was supposed to been linked up with Sami Zayn, it looks like.
Yeah.
According to some reports, since everything with Sami Zayn has gone so well, better than expected, mm-hmm. It has been white hot. Since that has been the case, they have moved away from basically breaking Sami Zayn away from the Bloodline,
mm-hmm.
which means that Kevin Owens was a bit stagnant.
Yeah.
But now Kevin Owens is a part of Survivor Series War Games with the Brawling Brutes, which mm-hmm. squarely puts him against his homie. And his friend and sometimes foe, Sami Zayn.
Mm-hmm.
So, I have a guarantee, ladies and gentlemen.
Awesome.
Have a guarantee. The Bloodline will lose War Games because of Sami Zayn.
Damn. You literally took my damn guarantee.
Oh, we had the same one.
That was literally my one. So we just might as well, this is the guarantee segment officially. Because I think one or two things can happen here. I'm going to see what you say, and I may not even have to go into the other one, and I'll just do the other one.
Well, I think somehow, some way, Jay is going to get Sammy in a situation where he's the person that is eliminated. Because Sammy loses, and Jay pushes that along, that's when we get Sammy slowly exiting out of the Bloodline, which is going to lead to him getting his ass beat. Now, remember, there's no pay-per-view until Royal Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
There's no pay-per-view until Royal Rumble. So everything is going to culminate into Royal Rumble, which I'm changing one of your predictions.
Okay.
Jey Uso will not be in the Final Four.
Mm.
Sami Zayn will.
Mm.
Because he's going to eliminate Jey Uso.
Mm.
And that would be the straw that breaks the camel's back, which is going to lead to Jey versus Sami. And whoever loses leaves the Bloodline.
Mm.
But they're going to beat Sami's ass.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to lead to Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn versus Jey and Jimmy at WrestleMania for the tag team championships.
Okay, so you have a really great climax to that. Pause if necessary.
Nah, hey, that's just part of life.
Because, you know, I mean, hey, I'm really good with words, guys. You know, climax means more than just ejaculating, you know what I mean? Which actually means that. But it's
it's the crescendo.
You know what I'm saying? Well, actually, it's the decrescendo. Crescendo is make it louder.
I know. I'm just that's how Puff was saying it in that video. That's
oh yeah, it's fine. No, shout the Puff.
Shout the Puff.
But dig it. I got this is my War Games prediction and my guarantee lead in. Since you covered that, we're kind of on the same page. Because I think one or two things that happened, but what I do know for sure is that Jey Uso is getting pinned or submitted at War Games, and it will be Sami Zayn's fault.
Oh,
that is the conclusion I have. So I got the Brawling Brutes, KO, and Drew winning also. But Jey Uso is going to be the person that causes the bloodline to lose. However, I don't know if it's going to be because Sami Zayn let up when Kevin Owens beat him, or if Sami Zayn hit Jey unexpectedly, or they get the beefing and he lose in that aspect. Mm. But War Games is all about Sami Zayn and Jey Uso to me.
Yep.
Everybody else is just there.
Yep.
So Butch, Ridge, you're welcome, because y'all wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for Sami and Jey. So I look at it like War Games happens. Sami causes Jey Uso to lose the match. It's got to come to a head, right? They get the SmackDown. And depending on how Roman Reigns handles it will determine how distant Jey becomes from the bloodline. Mm. So I'm thinking that it's going to be a, hey, man, regardless, you lost. You lost us the match. I didn't lose. Jimmy didn't lose. Solo didn't lose. Sami didn't lose. You lost.
Right.
So that's when he was like, yo, I'm sick of y'all capping for this white boy. I'm out. Like, and that's going to be it.
Yeah.
And see, I got that leading to the buildup of Sami versus Jey Uso at the Royal Rumble. So I'm almost in the mindset that neither one of them will be in the match because they're going to be going against each other at the actual Royal Rumble, which then insert Kevin Owens again, which does now lead to your thoughts. And what they let out the bag is that, oh, Kevin Owens was supposed to be a part of the storyline. It just started working too well.
Right.
So I am with you on Usos versus Kevin and Sami at WrestleMania, because I think that's just the perfect way to end it. However, I do think that we got to get the Sami versus Jey Uso feud out the way to get to that.
Okay.
Because, and I only say that because this is the best story in wrestling. Again, Jey Uso, once again, within 2 years, a part of the best story in wrestling. And this time, he has to look stronger. He has to look greater. He has to look better than the last one. And not only that, I think he's with a guy who can take him to a new level on the mic as well as in the ring. So they both elevate themselves to the point where it's like, man, even if this don't come to a head or if it come to a head at the Royal Rumble, I wouldn't mind seeing this again sometime later for no reason.
Yeah, and Keith raised a great question. Will either be an elimination chamber? I think because of the way the WWE title is set up right now, that's interesting in itself. Who would be an elimination chamber? Yeah. Because, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they changed the rules in the Royal Rumble. Mm-hmm. I would not be surprised. Because I don't think Roman is going to, I don't think they're going to tell Roman you have to defend your title at Elimination Chamber.
Yeah.
I don't see that happening.
Not for nothing. You really can't convince me that the U.S. and or the Intercontinental Championship won't be in the Elimination Chamber.
See, that's my thinking, that the U.S. title is more likely to be defended in the Elimination Chamber. Mm-hmm. Than Roman Reigns going in there, or Roman Reigns saying that I will face the winner of the Elimination Chamber. Mm-hmm. So, like, it just don't. The Raw Heavyweight Championship will be on the line in the Elimination Chamber, the mm-hmm. way it feels like it is being set up to me.
Yeah.
Now, since we're on War Games real quick, Survivor Series War Games, since it is next week, when you come mm-hmm. to think about it, just go ahead and get these predictions of the matches so far out the way. Yeah. AJ Styles and the OC, and Mia Yim or the way that, just the AJ Styles and the OC versus Finn Balor and Judgment Day. Yeah. AJ Styles versus Finn Balor. AJ Styles versus Finn Balor in a singles match. Who you got winning that match? A match that could be a world title match and have been. Yeah. I think that actually main evented a match where like everybody got sick one pay-per-view.
Matter of fact, wildly enough, during AJ Styles 371 run.
Yep.
Him and Finn Balor were at Survivor Series, and AJ won that match. So I'm picking Finn Balor this time. I am picking Finn Balor this time because, this OC versus Judgment shit, Judgment Day shit, or maybe I was right the first time, you know?
Let us know how you really feel, though.
Either way, it ain't working. But I will say, kudos to Finn Balor. Because you know what? I don't think I've ever been this entertained by Finn Balor ever.
Yeah.
He's actually on the roll with the purple bandana in his back pocket.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's just like purple sheer. Like, it was like he got like a silk jack-off rag or something like that.
Silk stockings.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Another great show on USA.
Silk stockings. Got AJ Styles because they keep harping on the fact that AJ Styles ain't won a match in like 3 years or some shit.
Honestly, what I kind of want is to Grave Street Finn. I want AJ Styles to get beat and then start beating the OC ass. But like, y'all can't even help. Y'all can't help me at all. Fuck everybody. they still beat my ass and y'all here.
And yeah, so you got on the Finn Balor, I got AJ Styles. Let's go to the match where we already know who the winner is: Ronda Rousey versus Shotzi. We picking Ronda, right?
Yeah, man. Yeah, right. I mean, anything else is literally uncivilized.
Right. We both have the Bloodline losing at War Games.
Yes. Yeah.
But Roman will not take a pin.
No.
But he's going to be looking like, man, what the fuck just happened?
Yeah.
Because we don't do this here. Yeah. And then we have Bianca Belair, Alexa Bliss, Asuka, Mia Yim, and somebody to be determined.
Yeah.
Versus Damage Control, Nikki Cross, and Rhea Ripley.
Yeah.
Two questions. Question one is, who is the TBD? And number one is, who's going to win the Women's War Games match?
Because I know one answer for sure over the other. Damage Control and Rhea and Nikki are winning that match.
Okay.
Because they got Rhea Ripley. Rhea Ripley is manhandling grown men the last 2 months, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know if y'all been paying attention. So if you think that I think that she's going to get her ass whooped by some girls, you kiss my ass. Like, that ain't happening. She slammed a 6'10" man.
With ease.
And then stood there. Like, hey, get up and do something, bitch.
With emphasis.
Yeah, you know? Honestly, like, hey, look, y'all want to talk about bad booking real quick? Bringing Mia Yim in to thinking that was going to hurt Rhea Ripley is bad booking. That's bad booking. It is. They've been better off putting Mia Yim against Bianca Belair because she's already losing, but she's still the champ. We know this is wrestling, but Rhea Ripley, one, she bad as fuck. That's one thing we got. Just, you know, wow, she's only 26. That's crazy to me.
Yeah.
But she's beating up men. And this is different from when China was beating up men or that stint when, like, Beth Phoenix was, like, just able to, like, Samoan drop a dude or something like that. Like, nah, she's bigger than men and she's fighting them. So... yeah, I don't even think she needs the other girls in the War Games, to be honest with you. Like, her and EO should be enough.
So who's the TBD?
The TBD, I've been trying to go through my mental Rolodex here because I think it's somebody either coming up or coming back. Emma ain't a big enough splash, obviously.
Not at all.
And part of me, because I thought this was going to happen at Crown Jewel, part of me thinks it's Beth Phoenix. Part of me thinks it's Beth Phoenix.
Oh.
You did? Because Rhea jumped on the team because, oh, they got Mia Yim. Oh, yo, hey, but I'm fucking with y'all just because they fuck with her.
Oh, damn. I ain't even think about Beth.
So who else has motive? Like, who else has motive to be with the team that look like they gonna get their ass beat on paper? Only Beth Phoenix has motive.
Damn, you fuck, man.
Hey, sorry, y'all.
Damn. Like, you know, I was about to be extra Marcus real quick.
Hey, no, please do it. Hey, because I want to be wrong, but...
So since you said Beth,
yeah.
FBC is going to go with Beth.
Okay.
But J.R. Bang is going to go with Naomi.
Okay.
I think it's time for Naomi to come back, fam. It's time. I don't think Sasha's coming back, fam. I think that shit, when they said that her company went and trademarked some names, Mercedes Moné and all this shit, she's going to Japan and she's acting. Yeah. I don't think we gonna see her in America in quite some time, fam. Yeah.
And plus, I seen her petite tone pictures.
Yeah.
Yeah, she out.
Yeah.
Like, she hired better photographers than the WWE got.
Yeah.
Like, we keeping it real.
Yeah, so, you know, I know sources told me a while ago that Sasha was done with the WWE.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was just some feelings. Like, we heard rumors that it's just signed and sealed and all of that. Mm-hmm. Nah, I think Shorty's going to... I think we're going to see her at Wrestle Kingdom before we see her. It wouldn't surprise me if Kairi Sane, who just won the first ever IWGP Women's Championship, it wouldn't shock me if Mercedes Moné will be going up against Kairi Sane in Japan at Wrestle Kingdom.
Okay.
Just throwing that out there.
Hey.
With that being said, my prediction was Naomi.
Okay.
Because it's about that time and Naomi ain't going to Japan. I'm not saying that they wouldn't want her because as long as she's with Sasha, they will. But I think it's time for her to come home. Mm-hmm. I think her husband is telling her, hey, fam, baby, I need you. I miss you around these parts, fam. I miss getting dressed with you, looking at that ass before you go out in the gorilla position and you coming back. I miss you, baby. Come on home. And then it is Naomi. But you're right. And you're right until a dark-skinned woman come out that ring.
Yeah.
Because that is the person who has every reason to be that the last person. And from pop purposes, I hate to say this, ladies and gentlemen, but it's debatable who would have the bigger pop, Naomi or Beth Phoenix.
Yeah.
And safe it to say, because I think it's safe to say because of the relationship and what happened to Edge, Beth will get the biggest pop against Rhea Ripley, because to your point, Rhea Ripley out here beating grown men ass.
Right.
So you can't go grab Naomi to do some flips and a booty pump.
Yeah.
You got to bring in the big guns. You got to bring in Beth Phoenix.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, shoot, even though we all love a good booty pump.
Yeah, we all do.
Especially from Naomi. But yeah, man. I mean, hey, look, at the end of the day, guys, the pay-per-view is now called War Games. And Naomi ain't got no war with nobody. Neither do Emma, neither do any other, shoot, Dana Brooke. Because, and you would think that the girl that just lost her belt from the girl on the other team would have been added to the team.
Right. Now,
so they was just like, no.
Could it be Candice LeRae? Yeah, it could. Because if my memory serves me correctly, because we're about to talk about the WWE NXT version of War Games.
Mm-hmm.
If my memory serves me correctly, Candice LeRae might have the most War Games women match victories.
Because
she's been in two and she won both.
Okay.
Think Dakota Kai's been in two and she's won both too.
Okay.
But yeah, could it be her? Yeah. But imagine being that Survivor Series and then, no, the last person comes out and it's Candice LeRae. Yeah. It's not going to be a pop.
Yeah, man. I mean, listen, and no disrespect to Candice LeRae, but the last addition to Bayley's team was Rhea Ripley.
Right.
You're not telling me much if you go on Candice LeRae when I say, oh, we got Rhea Ripley, fam.
Like, ooh.
It's like, oh, okay. Oh, you like blondes. Okay.
Right.
Like, it's cool.
Like, you really get the Scott Hall.
Yeah. Right. It's like, you know, I think that, and what I want to say about, because this is all the matches we know, that's all that they have advertised, right? What I do
and before say, you before you even say that, yo. And Donnie's right. Jimmy, yeah, Sammy might be the only person that's keeping Jimmy in a good spirit right now.
Yeah, man.
Wrestling wise, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how long you all have been watching wrestling or specifically the Survivor Series, but I'm glad that the Survivor Series is back to heated rivalry, heated battle competition.
Is it though?
It is. Because if you remember, even back 36 years ago, I believe, everybody didn't have beef on the Survivor Series teams, but there was always at least one or two. It was like, nah, hey yo, nah, we not fucking with Don Morocco. Like, it's like, you know what I mean? It's like, yo, like, Dusty don't like Ted DiBiase. So, hey, yo, I'm just going to call some people up just in case the $1 million.
So, I agree with you to a point. And that's because I was watching Survivor Series yesterday. I spent part of my day cleaning up the living room and watching Survivor Series.
Nice.
And I realized that the Survivor Series really used to be my favorite pay-per-view.
Hell yeah.
And it wasn't, and honestly, it wasn't even close.
Yeah.
Because you used to see everybody, but you're right. Like, it'd be like the Ultimate Warriors versus DeAndre the Giant team. And the only two niggas that got beef is the Ultimate Warrior and Andre the Giant.
Yeah, that's it.
The other niggas just need a paycheck for the night.
Yeah,
why are we mad at each other?
Like who did Tito Santana have beef with that year?
He was right, like
who Coco Beware ever beef with? He always lost.
But to that point, watch a WrestleMania in the 80s and early 90s. Mm-hmm. Nobody be having beef. It just be a match that was made. Like, when did Demolition have a beef with the Asian dudes?
Right.
Like, when did they even get on the card? It was
right.
WrestleMania 7, a match just signed. Demolition versus Jinru and some other body. Like, what?
Like, where did the Orient Express even come from?
Right. But then after they announced the matches, everybody got beef. So what I'm saying is watch a Survivor Series back in the day and watch the teamwork and watch the cheering of teams before, like when they're doing a promo. Just watch Survivor Series 1. Mm-hmm. These cats be all, hugging and shit.
Yeah.
High five. We whooping somebody's ass tonight. I miss that, fam.
Yeah.
That's why to see the Bloodline go up against the Brawling Brutes and them. That's what I'm going to call their team. The Brawling Brutes
sure.
and them at Survivor Series. I want to. Why does AJ Styles and Finn Balor have to be a singles match?
Right. See,
why? Yeah. We don't do this shit at Survivor Series. Nah, you bring the homies. And yeah, I ain't got beef with dude over there. But you know what? For this night, I'm riding with the homie. The Survivor Series is the I ride with the homie joint.
Yeah. And it should have been fucking AJ Styles, the OC and Riddle against the Judgment Day and Chad Gable. I don't know. Anybody. Right. Like anybody. It wouldn't even matter.
Remember the one year, the Rockers were split up. They was on separate teams. The Hart Foundation was on separate teams.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, so Bret Hart on one team and the Anvil on another team? Like, why? But hey, it don't matter. Like, it's a Survivor Series.
Right. That's what I'm saying. It's a Survivor Series. And I think War Games was the best way of bringing back the team format in the way that the team format should be. Yeah. I don't want to see SmackDown versus Raw. I never want to see that in the first place. No, I want team names back. I want team names back. I want random ass opponents on teams. And I want rivalry started for a little bit, for about 6 weeks, for Survivor Series. Because, look.
You're right, Keith. Yeah, I want people to show up in faith for no reason. Because you know it was a Survivor Series team back in the day? Rowdy Piper, the British Bulldog, Bret the Hitman Hart, and Virgil. I didn't even know they liked each other in real life.
Right,
but they were about to scrap that year. It didn't even matter to me.
Right. And look, I know Triple H ain't listening to First Black Champ. Somebody is, though, because some of the shit we say be coming true.
Yeah.
And like from front to back, it be coming true. But if I can appeal to Triple H, fam, this is the fun pay-per-view. Bring that shit back, because I want to see teams, team names, random people that we ain't even know like each other, got to get along with each other and have a Bad News Brown moment. Yeah. Have that moment where somebody hits somebody, you be like, man, get the fuck out of here. I'm out of here. And then your team be like, yo, where you going? Like, what's going on? Like, no. Yeah. Bring that back. And War Games, because you have a team with War Games, it makes it even better. Like, I'm not saying that every match needs to be in War Games, but because it don't. But that is the climax for the night.
Yeah, absolutely.
But no, I need teams, and even for the women, because I'm going to say this now, and y'all might look at me crazy, but I'll stand on it because it's me. The women's match at the first Royal Rumble is still one of the, at the first Survivor Series, is still one of the coldest matches in Survivor Series history, because the Jumping Bomb Angels was cold as hell.
Yeah, they went crazy. They went crazy.
They went like, crazy, fam.
Like, and you got to think, in the 80s, personally, I had never seen wrestling like that before. No. I was like, yo, these girls is going nuts. Like this is ill. Like, yeah, like, just when you thought it started with Rey Mysterio and the 1-2-3 Kid.
Right. Like, nah. Jumping Bomb Angels, fam.
Yeah.
So, no, I'm telling y'all, man, if I can appeal to the WWE, bring back the teams, bring back the team names,
yeah, man.
Bring back the random-ass teams.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
And get a chance to have some feuds from them. Because it used to be the most fun pay-per-view in the WWE. And it's just not no more. Right. It's like we've gotten away from the Survivor Series. This is actually, other than Becky Lynch getting her nose broke, this is the most we've looked at the Survivor Series because of War Games.
Yeah.
In years. We didn't even talk about this no more as the top four pay-per-view. People's trying to remove this and put Money in the Bank there.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, man. It's so much missed opportunity. I mean, shoot, even though one team would already be set, right? I mean, obviously, Ronda and Shayna Baszler would need two partners, but why aren't they going against Raquel, Shotzi, Natty, and what's homegirl name?
Yes, Aaliyah. We do, Keith. We want niggas to show up and fade just because.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, and Trey, you're right. We never got DX versus The Nation at Survivor Series. And that should have happened. And you know what? This all reminds me of the year I stopped liking Survivor Series. It was the year where the main event was Shawn Michaels, the Intercontinental Champion, versus Bret Hart, who was the world champion at the time. It was just champion versus champion, but it wasn't title for title. And from that moment, they stopped doing the 8- and 10-man tag team matches. Historically, until like 96 when they brought it back, but then they brought it back random because The Rock debuted in 96.
Yeah.
And you know, it wasn't no history there. He debuted, so he didn't even know who his team was. Like, and we didn't know who he was. It's like,
and he was a sole survivor.
Yeah, right. Like, so again, That's why I'm not tripping off the War Games being about Sammy and Jay. At least I seen them all year. 96, yeah. I was like, oh, yeah, hey, who do with the Superman curl?
Like, with the tassels and shit.
Yeah, so.
Looking like the shit at your mama house that used to be in doorways. You just
yeah,
walk in.
Hell yeah. Them beads. But yeah, man. So, you know, Survivor Series, hopefully. And, you know, there's enough people on rosters to where they can do the two War Games matches, but do 8- and 10-man tag matches. I mean, honestly, I think the women's match shouldn't be a War Games match, honestly. I know I'll probably get some flack for that, and it has nothing to do with sexism. I just think that a standard elimination match between Bianca's team and Damage Control's team, I think that's just a better play out. I think just a better play out.
I agree with you to a point. Mm-hmm. And the only point is, the WWE War Games, the women go crazy.
Yeah.
They go crazy. Every woman that's in this current match has went crazy in a War Games.
Mm-hmm.
That has been in a War Games match.
Yeah.
So that's the only reason why I disagree with you to a point.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I would love to see this match in a Survivor Series style match more than I would in a War Games match, because I think only because the Bloodline Brawling Brute storyline to me is geared more towards War Games.
Yeah.
And not
like elimination tag.
Elimination chain. Like, right. And side note, as I'm watching the joint that they had in WCW, Goldberg was about to walk out with the belt, and Bret Hart closed the door on him. And it just, even though they wasn't beefing like that then, because Bret Hart was still an active wrestler, I felt Bret Hart closing that door on him. And if Bret Hart sees that now, Bret's like, yeah, I should have did that shit harder and knocked his ass out. That man don't like Goldberg at all, man. That shit's bad. But yeah, man, I just miss old Survivor Series, G.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. And you know what? And honestly, and you know what? Looking back on it too, Bang, you realize who's over at Survivor Series. Like, because when 50 dudes or 20 women and 30 dudes now are showing up a night, you see the pop. You know what I'm saying? Like Madcap Moss being on a team versus like LA Knight's team.
Yeah.
You'll see who really over and who ain't. You know what I'm saying? It's and that's what I love. Like, man, like I never really truly understood how popular, like, for instance, the Texas Tornado was. Until his music hit at Survivor Series. And I was like, oh, they fucking went home. And the Warrior is about to come out.
Right,
like, the Ultimate Warrior is about to come out. But look what they're doing for Kerry Von Erich right now, though.
Like, you know, the best way of saying it before I probably shoot myself in the foot with the WWE version, the best way of saying it is this. Survivor Series, and I don't think they meant to do this, but Survivor Series happens at Thanksgiving, right?
Yeah.
What normally happens at Thanksgiving? Family that don't normally get together all the time get together. You get to see family who get along, and you get to see family who don't get along either. Yeah. I think that the Survivor Series was that. Like, yo, I get to see all my cousins, and I get to see all my uncles and aunties. I get to see my grandmother, my grandfather. And man, if you are in a relationship, if you're married, if you're engaged, and both of your sides of family come, oh man, that's what that is.
Yeah.
This is like seeing like your grandparents on both of your sides of the family in the same room. It's like, damn, I never expected to see Terry Funk and Harley Race on the same team.
Yeah.
I never expected the Macho Man and Ricky the Dragon Steamboat on the same team. Matter of fact, go look at Survivor Series 1. Mm-hmm. And the first match of Survivor Series 1 is, when you think about it, on Macho Man's team, is like, damn, how did y'all get this team together? Like, looking back, you're like, how you get this team together? Because that's Macho Man, Ricky Steamboat, Jim Duggan, Jake Roberts, and Brutus the Barber Beefcake.
Yeah.
For the exception of Ricky Steamboat, because he left a little bit after this.
Right.
Fam, this is who held the WWE down for the rest of them years.
Right.
Yep. From a face perspective.
Yep.
And Macho Man from a heel perspective too. And Jake Roberts.
Yeah.
All on one team. Like, God damn, how did they make this shit happen?
And see, and that in itself lets you know, like, wow, real superstars were being built throughout the entire roster. Because you put all of them, like, right now, we probably live in this mindset of, if you had people of that caliber in the first match of the night, it ain't nobody else to watch.
Ain't nobody else to watch.
But, yo, look at the main event.
Right.
Like, yo, the main they event save is- Hogan and Andre's team for the end.
Right, and that's Hogan, Bam Bam Bigelow, who became a star after that match, Don Morocco, Kent Patera, Paul Orndorff, against Andre the Giant, Butch Reed, King Kong Bundy, One Man Gang, and Ravishing Rick Rude.
Yeah, man. And I'm glad you said that. Yo, Bam Bam Bigelow became him after that match.
Him. He became him so much after that match that everybody in the locker room hated him.
Yeah.
So I miss that. Mm-hmm. Now, to move on to War Games, fam. Last week, for the Real Nigga Oral History, we talked about War Games and the WCW version of it. And it's highs and it's lows. But I'm going in a different direction for the WWE version of War Games, mm-hmm. right? The first one was the Undisputed Era versus Sanity and the Authors of Pain.
Yeah.
And as you would see, the Undisputed Era really made their, like, this is them. When you look at War Games, you really saw the Undisputed Era.
Yeah.
Because then the year after that, you had Pete Dunne, Ricochet, and the War Raiders versus who? The Undisputed Era.
Mm-hmm.
But then you also had your first women's match with Team Ripley versus Team Baszler. Team Ciampa versus the Undisputed Era. In the first, in all of the, well, in the first four out of five War Games, it is the Undisputed Era. It only changed when you had Team NXT 2.0, which was Bron Breakker, Carmelo Hayes, Tony D'Angelo, and Grayson Walker, or Waller, excuse me,
mm-hmm.
versus Team Black and Gold, which was Ciampa, Gargano, Pete Dunne, and LA Knight.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say this. Yeah. To me, this is not a hot take, because all this week I've been watching this shit.
Mm-hmm.
While wrestling-wise, the wrestling for NXT, NXT's War Games was better, I didn't really like them compared to the WCW's.
Mm.
I didn't like them. If you look at all of the WCW ones, it was a turning point, so to speak.
Yeah.
Like, if you look at, especially the NWO versus WCW, which we had talked about prominently, and how Sting should be like, yo, fuck y'all think it's my fault for.
Right.
Like, y'all all turned on me at one point in y'all careers. Never turned on y'all. Mm-hmm. Or this company. Y'all questioning me? While the wrestling and the spots, because those matches in NXT are spot heavy.
Yeah, for sure.
The storylines and the pomp and circumstance, to me, was better, which made WCW's better. I couldn't really rewatch NXT's because I was like, ah, I know I'm going to get somebody jumping off the top of a cage. And,
right.
You know I'm going to get somebody hitting somebody with a can. And Here comes Io Shihari doing a moonsault on with a garbage can on. Woo. But WCW, simply put, we beating your ass in this match, fam.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what we're here for. We're here to fight. Yeah. We're not here to jump around. We're not here to spin around. And we're not doing none of that. We're here to, I'm going to make you bleed, fam. But Barry Windham came up in that cage and Ricky Scott Steiner was looking like, oh shit. Brian Pillman's already in there. And as soon as he got up in there, he made Barry Windham bleed.
Yeah, man.
I don't want to see all these flips and shit. Yeah, Am I wrong for thinking that shit?
No, man. It's War Games, not the now the Olympic gymnastics, right? In my mind, Bang, there have only been two successful revamps in history. And that's when Big Tigger took Rhapsody from Joe Clare and made The Basement. Mm. And when whoever's doing Bel Air from the Fresh Prince of Bel Air.
Oh, you watching Bel Air?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I seen that in real time. Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
you was, did. I didn't know.
Oh, yeah. That was fire. That was
you don't really
fire.
Watch TV. So I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah. Oh, no. Because, like, I seen that trailer and was like, huh, do I want to watch this or not? And I was like, you know what? I had Peacock, obviously. I was like, you know what? Let me check this out. And I called it, like, I think episode 3. So I was right on time because I was like, ooh. But then we caught up and I was like, damn, I had to wait for the last two episodes. So I did watch.
And I think Will got old girl popped. I think old girl popped. Man.
Oh, yeah.
I think Coco Jones did not confirm nor deny.
Yeah.
That's part of the storyline. I think Shorty popped.
I was like, I was just seeing how it went. I was like, yeah, nah, he from Philly. He definitely. But like, he from Philly out in the burbs with this black girl that can swim. Like, you know, he definitely shot all in her.
He definitely. But
saying that to say, I am giving WWE Umbrella War Games just the benefit of the doubt.
Okay.
Because for every reason that you said, listen, we grew up in a time where storylines meant something, feuds, beef, rivalry, and it wasn't, you know, played for just the cameras. People would do it at Denny's. Like, they would keep the story going at Denny's just in case you pulled up on me like, no, it's really fucked at DiBiase. Like, no, it's like, that's what it was.
Right.
And now, we're so far in the sports entertainment realm that, yeah, even though it's not that the matches are not good that NXT did for War Games, because they've all been really good.
Yeah, they all been like,
but they're the WCW War Games matches were moments, not spots. Like I was saying, how Curt Hennig's the last person in the NWO to me. Because of the moment he created, which caused them to lose that match while he joined the NWO.
Mm-hmm.
The Flying Brian, well, the reason why Elegante comes out in the War Games match is not because of a great spot. It's honestly because Sid Vicious forgot where the fuck he was.
I almost killed Brian Pillman.
Almost killed Brian Pillman. Attitude Era almost don't happen. Because Sid Vicious fucked up. But and then they had to grab him out, and it's like, wow. And even though that's unfortunate, even the way they play it off, they just don't leave him there for dead, and somebody just cover him for the pin, and it's just over. It's like, no, nah, send up the 7'6" guy. Like, yo, he needs to get out there. It's something to be said about just moments created in wrestling, man. And it's not that I won't speak for you. It's not that I don't want to see really good wrestling or really cool spots or anything like that. But listen to these titles: War Games, Survivor Series. Like, fuck your 450 Splash, G. Like, right now, fuck all that. You know, man. Fuck your Frog Splash. Fuck your Shooting Star Press. All of that. It's war time, bro. Like, even when you look at combat sports, sure, they might be practicing all kinds of pretty kicks. in the gym. All right? But when the octagon closes, it's fist, elbows, knees, and feet. That's it.
That's it.
You ain't like, you might be fortunate enough like Israel or John Bones Jones to do some cool shit and land it. But the majority of them is Sugar Sean O'Malley. You just getting swung on. You getting KO'd. Matches over. I'm going home to practice the cute shit in my backyard.
Yeah.
And so I have that. That's why. And that's why circling back to just this year's War Games, that this is why, Bang, I am pro the Brawling Brutes specifically being in the War Games match. Because if nothing else, like, these ain't the spot guys.
Yeah, we're not jumping off shit.
You know, yeah, like, these the kick you in the face guys. This the I'ma throw something guy. This is the, oh, we're just gonna take this and, like, I'ma try to snap your neck or your arm guys. So, I appreciate that.
It's almost one spot that's guaranteed. Mm-hmm. And it's only because of the family lineage. Mm-hmm. One of the Usos is jumping. If the cage is not closed, mm-hmm. because the cage should be, let's say this first.
Yeah.
War Games cage should be closed.
Yes.
That's the whole point. It should be closed. Mm-hmm. But if it is not closed, it is guaranteed that one of the Usos, if not both of the Usos, is jumping off the top of the cage to do the splash. Mm-hmm. And it's probably going to be both of them jumping off simultaneously.
The double splash.
To do the double splash on somebody. Rikishi did it. Mm-hmm. Jimmy Superfly Snuka did it. Mm-hmm. They got to do it if the cage is open. If it is, but it should not be open. The cage should be closed. Mm-hmm. This should be just like we've seen in WCW all our lives, fam. Mm-hmm. Nobody gets sent. The only thing that should change, and I don't know why, and I swear, knock on wood, nothing happens. But I am very shocked and surprised that an injury did not take place because you put two cages together. Because mm-hmm. that middle be open like a motherfucker, fam.
Yeah, yeah.
Be open like a motherfucker.
Hey, that one Undisputed Era match, I thought it was going to happen. I thought somebody was dying and right in that crevice.
Right. Like, because everybody want to flip. Like, yeah. Nah, fam. Just let's just make one long ass ring and split that motherfucking ring in the middle. Like, have a rope in the middle, fam.
Yeah. Hey, let me ask the Trey real quick. Because he said, so we're not going to count the Big Show joining the NWO? I'm so glad you asked that because the answer is hell no.
Nah.
Because check this out. You wanna talk about how to make yourself in the world of professional wrestling? Don't be the 7-foot dude that's joining 6 other dudes to take over the game.
Yeah.
It would have been better for the Big Show to team specifically with Luger and Macho Man the entire year and be the person to not get pinned than it would have been for him to join the NWO and be the other dude that Kevin Nash was going to end up beating his ass anyway.
Yeah.
Because that's literally what happened. He joined the NWO, became their flunky, and Kevin Nash beat his ass. He could have just had that match at Starrcade.
Yeah.
Like, way earlier. So, nah. Like, he was probably the most useless pick because of his size and stature. They all was already running the WCW.
Yeah, and
he didn't make it better or worse.
And he didn't join in War Games. Yeah. So that's the other part. Like, he didn't join in War Games. Like, what happened was, if we remember correctly, what happened was they thought they had a Four Horsemen member, Kurt Hennig, and he was like, nah. And he closed Ric Flair's head in the gate.
Right. After Arn Anderson gave him the enforcer spot.
And then, right, I'm giving you my spot.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. He had all the WCW crying and shit. I'm going to give you my spot because I can't do it no more.
Yeah, man.
It's the coveted Arn Anderson spots.
You know what I'm saying?
My spot.
That was the promo of Arn Anderson's life, by the way.
Right, that, right. Right. Like that, look, you was watching WCW at that time, like, damn, Arn Anderson can't do it no more.
Yeah.
Damn, he giving it to Kurt Hennig. Man, that's some real ass shit, G.
Right.
That's some real ass shit, G. Like, he giving him his spot. Like, he ain't get that shit to the Chris Benoit or Dean Malenko.
No.
He giving him his spot, G.
Right.
Damn.
He's like, so you officially number two in this.
Damn, right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. You
like, yo, no, you not the four, bro, or the three.
You number two. You the two. G. You number two. We know something about number two.
Yeah.
Then he was like, I don't want to be number two no more.
Right.
Yeah, hey. That's all I'm saying, fam.
There it is.
So while I, hey, you, that was, yeah, but Big Show have been, Big Show's been getting hold all his yeah. wrestling career, fam.
Yeah, backstage and in real life.
Like, damn.
Yeah, man, he blew his entire opportunity, because, again,
damn.
He beat Hogan his first night on television for the title.
First match.
So I'm going to beat you for the world title. And now I'm going to join your gang? Come on, fam. Like, no, Kevin Nash beat his ass.
Damn.
Yeah. Nah, that was a waste of time.
Damn. Yeah, he got hold. He got so hold. He got hold so much, he almost got his neck broke.
Mm-hmm. Damn. Yep. Most dangerous jackknife in the world that night.
Damn, Big Show.
The biggest and most dangerous one for sure.
But yeah, man, like, yeah, you just gotta, it was just something missing about that. And the reason why I say it the way that I'm saying it right there is simply, I do think that Triple H just restores the feeling here. Mm-hmm. Other than the Usos, ain't nobody jumping off Kano Cage unless they just want to do some crazy shit. But I see this as old school as it gets when it comes to war games. Mm-hmm. Coming in here, we fighting, and you know when it comes to Roman and Drew mm-hmm. and Sheamus, what you gonna get? And KO, what you gonna get?
Yeah.
Fighting.
Yeah.
I think we're gonna see a throwback to what we saw in the 80s and early 90s in war games. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm excited.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. Certain pay-per-views, I believe, are reserved for the people that can really fight or, excuse me, that you really want to see fight.
Yeah.
And this is one of those pay-per-views. And the roster is so robust right now that they can afford to do this. Like, you know, if Survivor Series and War Games will be incorporated moving throughout the next few years, get you two War Games matches, two or three 8 or 10-man tag matches, whatever they decide, but reserve it for the fighters. Because even if you look back, you know, even the Rockers didn't do all that high-flying shit that they normally do in Survivor Series because they was getting their ass tore off,
man.
If they did. Like, yo, so many people out here, man. We're not falling for that. And that's cool, you know. And you can reserve your high-flyers for Money in the Bank. You know, it's ladder there. You know, that's a lot of cool stuff you can do. Elimination Chamber, you can get one or two high-flyers off in that or people that are spot-heavy in that. But even those. But, you know, if we're keeping it very real, even for people that love spots, you got to admit, we haven't seen innovation in the Elimination Chamber until Brock Lesnar showed up earlier this year.
Yeah.
Because he F5 Austin Theory off top of the chamber.
Yeah.
So
I was scared for Austin Theory, fam.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes you really need a person that, again, just want to fight or don't mind fighting to really show you innovation and cool spots.
Yeah.
The best spot Rey Mysterio ever did was getting thrown like a dart into the side of that trailer during the NWO takeover. I don't care how many 619s y'all throw in my face. Nothing's better than when they got thrown like a dart in that trailer.
Yeah.
I laughed for 7 days on that.
And I still laugh when I see it right now.
Believe it.
So, yeah, man, it's going to be – I think we're going to get a throwback to it, but we already made our predictions, so we're going to see what's happening. And we already gave our guarantees as well. So, and it all revolves around Jey Uso and Sami Zayn. Different ways of getting it done.
Yeah.
But it all still leads to them and where the Usos versus KO and Sami Zayn at WrestleMania. So we'll see what it is. Hey, man, I'm just happy my voice stayed up
throughout
this whole episode.
You did really well. And technically, it's been about 2 hours for you, even though our show is a little bit less than that.
Yeah, technically. So I feel good about that, man. So you already know what to do, man. And it's off, G.
Yeah, man. Hey, listen, we appreciate and thank each and every one of you.
Oh, they confirmed it.
What's that?
They confirmed it, man. Jason David Frank, one of the original Power Rangers. Well, not technically. He wasn't the original. Not technically. Technically, he wasn't, but I see what they're doing.
Ah, okay. Well, yes, rest in peace, prayers, and condolences to his family and true friends. And hopefully all of his fans and just people that were admired or inspired by him continue to find rest during this day. In spite of the unfortunate news. And we thank you all for tuning into the show on the live stream, with your comments and theories and just, links and questions, likes, shares, all of it greatly appreciated. Anything that you do to contribute to the FBC brand is always appreciated. Obviously, Bang and I could do this show without you, but you make it that much better with your action, interaction, and support.
Share, like, subscribe, download. But share, share, share. Share to all your homies who you know fuck with the wrestling.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And always remember, if you ever want to talk about wrestling in an unconventional way, you do so by checking out the First Black Champ podcast. Pick. Bang. We are out. Fuck Johnny Wrestling.
There we go.